Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
God is good. It's sad that in our generation, most believers don't understand the importance of Bible studies, if it makes sense. Honestly, I've been dealing with a lot of Christians, and you really want to know the gross ignorance the average believer possesses, yet they pride themselves in what they don't know. Am I communicating, friends? It's so strange that those of us who call ourselves believers, when we are looking at the very life that God wants us to live, you realize we don't meet up to the standard, the criteria I'm telling you. All because we've decided to walk by the knowledge that kingdom life provides. Am I communicating, please? You see, when we say a man is a Christian, it goes beyond loving God. It's the understanding of what God wants you to know about yourself. You didn't hear me, friends? Whenever we talk about the kingdom life, we are talking about the life domiciled in God. Let me break it down for you. I want you to know that God does not have life because he breathes in fresh air. He is life himself. Does it make sense? He is the reason why everything exists. Now, it was John that told us in one of the Gospels that it is by him through which everything was made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, there is no importance to your life as a believer if there's no connection between you and God. Now, if you only get to believe in what God can do for you, yet you don't understand what it means to come into God's life, there are many things you can never have in him. Am I communicating, friends? You see, there is the hand of the Lord that will give unto you through mercy, and there is a heart that makes you God's being. You didn't hear me? Watch me. I want you to know that there are two sides to Christianity. There is the hand of God that will always give you what you pray to God for. Now, having to receive what you pray for might not always be a proof of God's trust. Am I communicating, church? You see, in our generation, we want everything real quick. Two of us. Everything should be fast. I guess because we live in this 21st century, believers would want to pray, and once they pray, you want God to give them instant answers, like microwave. Once they put in the food, after 3 minutes, it should be okay. And it does not help. Am I communicating? The current believer doesn't want to tarry. I get what I mean. They don't want to tarry. So they are finding every means to claim that they know God. Yet, when God talks about the dictate, they are nowhere close to it. If it is always a struggle for a believer to understand the patterns of Christ, it's a proof you lack knowledge about it. Talk to me, friends. Am I communicating, church? That is why I keep telling our members that whenever it is time for us to do Bible studies on Wednesday, they shouldn't miss it. Please, I don't know how to say it here. When I tell you to pray and you pray unto God, God will not give you what you have prayed for. He gives you what you've gained capacity for. That capacity comes through, it comes through the knowledge you acquire. Have it in mind, friends. When you pray that God should give you a husband, and the mind you carry does not carry what it takes to carry a husband, it will not come to you. Have it in mind. What prays on your behalf in the spirit is the knowledge you carry. Not what you see. Am I communicating, church? I want you to know that prayer is a journey in the spirit. Whatever you pray, you actually metamorphose into a different being in God's kingdom based on the knowledge you carry. I may speak because the flesh requires me to speak. Remember, Apostle Paul told us that by words or by confession, we believe that Christ is God. So in the every dimension, you ought to speak. But according to God's perspective, it is the understanding of what you know about God that gives you the answer you pray to God for. I'm telling you, friends. Am I teaching here? So you see, for a very funny reason, we always look at God's goodness based on the physical assets we have. And these are mundane stuff, honestly. Am I teaching here? The earlier you realize that the things in life that God wants to give you are not just physical things, the better it's for you. Because trust me, the way people are trying to, you know, do everything possible to control life for life to work for them, it doesn't work like that. It's a pity. When believers meet today, we want to use what you have in the physical realm as a proof of success. We want to look at these things before we say, you see, there is a physical defense that your physical defense gives you, if it makes sense. But that is not God's privacy. He wants you to come into the knowledge that I cannot provide. Am I teaching, friends? This isn't my teaching. I'm only doing an intro into today's teaching. I'm telling you, believers don't know, yet we claim to know. It was yesterday during our Zoom session. Now, the prophetic was so sharp on the platform. So the Lord spoke to me at dawn that we should tell the people to raise a protection seed. And somebody wrote in the comment section that, I've been loving your preaching for all this while until you raise money. You're always like all the pastors. So if you're not working, are you forced to release a seed? And then I told the people not to answer. Because that realm where we were, if people should change from that realm, you will not know how the enemy will be happy. You must be very sensitive, if that makes sense. Because you are dealing with matters of the spirit here. So the enemy must use someone's ignorance to distract you. So after I finish everything, I now answer the person. You realize that believers don't know at all. We don't know. Please, I told you before that when God gives you a miracle, the proof of the testimony is not the arrival of the answer. It is the spirit attached to the miracle that gives you the power to replicate the miracle again. If I can't work with precision to know what I have to do best to command the same possibility, I lack inner capacity. Am I teaching here? I should be able to tell you that when you do this and you do this and do that, this must happen to you. No lady here would pray before they cook, true or false. No lady will ever say, Lord, as I cook this jollof, I commit this jollof in your hands. Let the grace of my... You so much know... You can even close your eyes and cook the food, if that makes sense. Because you have gained the capacity for that. Uh-huh. So God says, when you come into the kingdom life, there are techniques that will help you grow in life. You didn't hear me? With the understanding you have concerning this practice, you can actually prove how God works. The reason why your troubles will make you doubt God is because the God you claim you know, you don't know him. So we are wallowing in ignorance, in gross ignorance, and we know nothing. We know nothing. We know nothing. So today, the average believer is concerned about whatever life says. Once they listen to the media, and the media is giving them false hope, they now have the hope tied to the media. They go through something in life, and then something bad happens to them, and they're scared like that. Oh, it shouldn't be like that. It's a pity. So when are we waiting to grow? The manifestation that took place, I keep telling my people that the idea of revival isn't just God's presence, but God's input in a man's life because of the capacity built inside. Yeah. Are you blessed, friends? So I'm praying for you, friends, that you would understand what God wants us to know. That is why I keep telling people that when you come to church, make sure you have the books and pens with you. So that you write down these points because they will help you grow in life. I can tell how fast and how speed you want to go in destiny based on your love for knowledge. Yes. Truly speaking, I can tell you that with what you know about life or about God's patterns, everything about this can work for you. I can tell you. Never blame anybody for their results. Blame their love for knowledge. On Friday, I made you understand that inasmuch as God has asked us to come before the Lord by putting our petition before him, it is also important that we consider his will when making that prayer. I repeat. I made you understand on Friday that for a very long time, we have been taught to understand that everything that God wants us to know about ourselves can be actually received through prayer. And I made you understand that prayer was not created just to give us what we want. On the account of creation, prayer was created so we grew height in God's kingdom. If you study prayer from God's original perspective, God did not say people should pray in order for them to receive miracle. He only asked them to pray because the more you pray, the more you become like Christ. That is why God keeps telling us that just don't pray and only asking for physical things. Because if you only pray for physical things, you may be disappointed when the things don't appear on time. And when it happens like that, you may only think that God has decided not to show you love. So we don't pray to receive things. We will pray to become answers. Am I communicating, friends? Uh-huh. Now, for a very long time, the average believer has not been taught to understand that you can become like Christ It was Paul that told us in the book of Philippians 2:15 that I pray that this knowledge that is in Christ will also be in you as well. If it makes sense. Yes. So you realize that everything that God wants us to do when we will be kingdom patterns must help you understand what it means to become like Christ. So if I'm praying like this, even though I'm making my petition known, it is the understanding of becoming like Christ that matters to God. Know what I say? Am I making a difference? Largely enough, it's sad that today in our generation, if you are speaking with a believer and the believer says, oh, my longest hour of prayer is an hour or two, and you have prayed for more than 15 hours, we think that they are shallow-minded, if that makes sense. Now, this is not to say that you should not pray long in prayer. I'm only telling you that you don't weigh your capacity in prayer because of the length or longevity. You weigh the prayer based on how best you have conceived his will through prayer. Or am I communicating here? These are very deep stuff here, friends. Watch me. When I go to church and I lift up my hands and I tell the Lord my heart's desire, God is not expected to give unto me what I desire until what I'm praying to God for is what God wants to give me. Is that clear? If I ask God that God should give me $1 million, that money will not manifest because I prayed. It will manifest because I aligned with God's will for my life. You didn't hear me? What makes prayer powerful? It's not just about the length. It's about the will conceived. That is why every believer must be sensitive in the place of prayer. So when they pray, they know they are speaking God's mind. Because I told you that you are a human being, even though your real identity is a spirit. There is no way you would ever have any desire until a spirit interferes with your life. Any desire you see anybody possessing is because of a spirit that intercepted with them. Is that clear, friends? I told you that the reason why a lady would want to get married is not because she saw her father getting married to the mother. It's because the God that created them through the act of marriage. How? Let us make man in our own image and likeness. You realize that these three entities came as one. This is called union. It's called partnership. And out of them, a man was made. I communicate difference. So there's no way anybody can ever have any heart desire and lay it as God's feet if no spirit interferes with them. Now watch this. What makes your prayer powerful is how you're able to perceive that this is what God wants for me. Is that clear, friends? Oh, talk to me, church. Am I communicating here? Because you see, many believers are leaving churches in the name of they have done all the exercises any believer would do. Yet, they ain't seen the answer. I met a guy last year in Ghana when I was having our invasion tour. And the guy saw me and said, God bless you, sir. I've seen your billboards around this town. And then, God bless you. Just keep it up. I trust that your Jesus is helping you gain popularity. And I asked, why would you say your Jesus? And he said, I used to be a believer like you. I used to be a prophet. I said, what? I didn't believe him until the guy showed me his YouTube videos and he was prophesying like sharp prophecies. And he told me that his late grandfather was actually a fetish priest. And the late grandfather told him that when I'm dead, you'll be the one to take over from the shrine. So he said he prayed every prayer, blah, blah, blah. And he had a personal thing that he wanted God to do for him. So when God didn't do it for him, it was that fetish priest that, you know, prayed and then gave him the answer. So he felt there was no need serving God. So he has left the church now. He now has a big shrine now where he holds annual programs. Can you imagine? And people come from everywhere to pay homage to a evil deity. The question is, he didn't know God. He only knew about him. That is why it is too dangerous as a believer when your purpose in serving God is to receive what he can do for you. It goes beyond that. Talk to me, friends. Am I teaching here? So what makes prayer powerful is how you're able to conceive God's will in your act, in your communication. How you're able to perceive and say, this is what God wants to do. Am I communicating here? Watch me. You see, a man can pray and you can come out of that presence by visiting or encountering a different deity. The fact you pray to God alone doesn't automatically mean that it was God that heard your prayer. Say Bible studies. I'm not teaching here. somewhere where that people prayed, and when they came back, it was something else they encountered. Okay. Let me help you here. Whenever a man begins to pray, the very moment you lose passion for your concentration, you are no more yourself again. You have entered into a different realm. Is that clear? The very moment you kill that life in your mind, you are no more yourself again. Now, be honest with yourself. Sometimes when you feel God's presence strongly in your life, you will clearly know that some of the things you are seeing is not the things you always see. Is that clear? Sometimes you can pray so deep that there will even be a change in your tongue. Yes. So when you begin to pray like this, understand that the doors, the portals of the spirit have been opened like that. What safeguards you in that realm is the knowledge of about God himself. Because demons also pray. Oh. And I could give a testimony of how they use Psalm 35 to kill Christians. The same Psalm 35 you use, but they will not call God. They will put the name of their master, and it works for them too. Because what brought their master into existence was the word that made you. Am I teaching here? So on Friday, I made you understand that Hezekiah received from the Lord what he wanted God to do for him. But he lost what God intended for him. Is that clear? I decided to do this recap because of where I'm going to. Hezekiah prayed, God, give me long life. But what God intended was not long life, but legacy. So he exchanged legacy for long life. But he didn't see what he had lost. So don't think because God decided not to give you what you want, he has robbed you of that opportunity of seeing God. And God says, no. There's something bigger that you don't see. That makes him God. Is that clear, friends? Uh-huh. So what will help you gain stability is that you perceive his will in your prayer. So watch this. The Bible says Hezekiah was sick, and Isaiah said, go and tell him that you've been told that you will die in no time. And he says, oh God, please, I'm a faithful man before you. Let me die. And God says, no. I want you to leave the earth. He pleaded and said, God, look at how faithful I am before you. Okay, let's get it for reference here. The book of 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 20. This isn't my teaching, but I'm just using this because I'm going somewhere. God is good. Yes. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Watch this. I hear people say, no genuine prophecy will make you scared. I hear people say, once the prophecy is negative, it's not God. This is Isaiah here. Just imagine you are sick and you call my friend and God says, Kai, you'll die. That prophecy is even worse than the sickness itself. God is good. So a man is sick. Oh, once we know the prophet has appeared, he will tell us something good. And I believe when he was on a sick bed, I believe he prayed that God should heal him. So when he saw the arrival of the prophet, as I said, I think God wants to heal me. He says, God's blessed. He said, prepare now, write all your wills, because while I live here, you will die. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God, saying, verse number 3, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. The verse number 5. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, the verse 5, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the 10th day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Now watch this. I do also hear people say God cannot change what he says. Oh, talk to me. Oh, talk to me, please. People say, but this is the same God that said you die. It wasn't tomorrow. Within the space of, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, he came and God says, the same God that said you die says, I believers, make sure you become the word addict. So when people try to confront your ignorance, you fight them back with the word. Somebody told me yesterday that after I preached about how to hear the voice of the Lord, she now realized that she knew nothing in God himself. She says, for all this while, people have been asking her, how is it that you have to go to a different man of God for a man of God to pray for you? Can't you pray to God yourself? And she says, for 2 years, she didn't know how to defend the gospel. I said, wow. So watch this. The Bible never said he was going to deliver him from death because he prayed. Watch this. And I will add your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake. So it wasn't the prayer he prayed about the answer. So when preachers say, and Hezekiah prayed, and God, he prayed that God should show him mercy and heal him. But God decided to heal him, not because he prayed, but because of his own name and the covenant he made with his servant David. Let us read scriptures correctly, please. Watch me. You can't convince God to go against his own will. Get me? Until God decides to leave your own will, your own care. There is the will of God where he will tell you that I'm not in this, so do yours. But when he comes in to defend his integrity, you can't change him. Verse 7. Watch this. Then Hazar said, take a lamp of fig. So they took and laid it on the board and he recovered. It's called direction. All right. So let us do 21. The chapter 21, please. Let's do verse 1. Now, let us do Bible mathematics here. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. Watch this. Remember, at that time, he was about to die. And God now added 15 years to him. Now, after the 15 years, he was called into glory. And then the son actually now became the king over Israel. The Bible says that the guy was now 12 when he became a king. Am I communicating? And he now reigned for 55 years. Now, watch this. The Bible says when the man became king over Israel, which is the son of Hezekiah, which is called Manasseh, the Bible says he did so much evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now watch this. God's definition for blessing will not just end with you. It must extend beyond what you do. You didn't hear me? When what God does for you ends with you, it's a proof that mercy was shown to you. But when God does for others through what he has done for you, it's a proof he makes covenant with you. You didn't hear me? When God finds trust with a man, he will not just end with the one he began with. He will ensure that his whole generation are tests of God's glory. Oh, you didn't hear me? So, you don't know the spiritual significance of the reign of King Hezekiah. As to whatever he did for God, God only knew in heart what he wanted to do in honor of the man's life. But he decided to exchange the legacy God wanted him to create in spirit by having his son spoil his legacy. By doing the evil thing that God told him to refrain from. Am I communicating, friends? Everything his father decided not to do because he feared God, the son came and said, I don't care what my father has done. Let me do what pleases me. Look at King Solomon too. Are you aware for some reasons the same temple that his father built to give God reverence and praise and worship? The Bible says he fell in love with strange women and in that same temple, brought in demonic deities, evil deities. God appeared to him twice, warning him, and he sealed his heart not to do as God has said. You see, many believers should perceive God in the way they see, in the thing they see, and how they pray, so that if God is trying to say no to you, you would obey that. What makes you a matured believer is your ability of de-associating yourself from whatever God said that you didn't do. God told me, that you are truly not matured if you can't stand in between what you know and what you feel. Did you hear that? When the enemy wants to convince you to go against God's plan, the enemy will cause you to prioritize your feeling. Because sometimes, when God is saying something about your life which goes against your own personal will, it will look like God doesn't care about you. And this leads me to this teaching. I want to teach you on the will of the Father. Am I communicating, please? So this is a clear example here. Now, when people pray, there are three things we activate in the spirit. There is the perfect will, the imperfect will, and the permissive will. There is the perfect will that is God's original plan. And there is the imperfect will that something God will not want to do at all. And the permissive will where God says, decide your own life. Am I communicating? Or am I teaching here? Are you blessed? There is, remember, God has a perfect agenda for everybody. He has a perfect agenda for what? Everybody. Yes. When he made you in your mother's womb, formed you, he had a plan, an agenda for you. So if you want to live the life of comfort, if you want to have yourself, he will tell you, follow the original plan that concerns your birth. But most likely, believers will not want to understand what God has said. You see, the will of God doesn't always come promising. Sometimes, it will look like God doesn't make sense. Praise God. I'm telling you. Things you will not assume that God can use in making you the person you ought to be in life. They're like, can God really do this? One testimony that we shared, God gave us last 2 years, and I still can't forget about it, was how the Lord told me to tell a lady in London, remember, that if she has to win a court case, she should wear a particular dress. Once she wears that dress and the judge sees the dress, the judge loves colors. So the colors and the flower in that dress would help her solve the case. When I said that, people said, man of God, how is that even possible? Because if you know UK, you know that UK, they are very strict with children. She was going to buy something at Aldi, a supermarket, and she left the kids in the house. And one old white woman, we call them German cameras, called them and said the lady leaves the kids every day. And when they came to, the kids were alone in the house and they were crying. They were like, you are very careless. The children belongs to the queen. So they sent a letter, and that night they took their babies away from her. So she called and said, man of God, this is happening, that is happening, this is happening, that's happening. So I was praying, and God told me I should pray until he speaks. Hey, watch me. When you go through certain situations, don't be quick to come with answers. Do you know why? Because sometimes God would want you to tarry long in prayer for him to know how zealous and serious you are before he can give you the answers. That is why you just can't sit and decide. When people always want you to decide in a rush, in the haste, it's not God. So for 8 months, I was in here. For 8 months, I was praying. 8 months, God will not talk. She will bring any case to me, will solve the case. But that particular case, God says, I should pray until he speaks. So for 8 months, on the 8th month, God says, tell her that there's been a decision right now, and that's in the spirit, she should wear this attire. Told her, she wore that attire and then went to the court. She got to the court, and then she said that all the police were ready to arrest her. Did that make sense? Yes. Because there were little marks on the children's body. You know, you've beat your kids. A lot of things. She wore, and the judge goes and says, how do you know I like this color? That is my favorite color. And even the flowers in the attire. This is a thing I like a lot. He says, what is the issue again? That's her children. So whatever she wants to do with the babies, allow her do whatever she wants. And then they just wrote her and said that she has decided. And that was it was a state lawyer. And said, let her be. So that's how they give her children back to working. You see, God's instruction doesn't make sense. If that makes sense. No. If you want God to make sense, you always fail. Because whatever God wants you to do goes beyond your focal shift. So whenever we talk about God's perfect will, we are talking about God's original plan. Does it make sense? God's original what? Plan. What did I say? God's original plan. The imperfect is something you choose to do when you clearly know that this is something God has not asked me to do. Do you know a lot of believers, they've made mistakes in destiny because all the things they decided to do, they didn't ask God for confirmation. They only went and then did as they wanted and they didn't ask God for clarity. The issue about results isn't about who started first or who gained first. It's about how long you can last what you're doing. I'm telling you. Oh, am I communicating this? I hope you are aware you are not the first person to do what you are doing. Solomon said there's nothing under the sun, the two of us. Are you aware God can give somebody instant fame and the person may not have what it takes to control the fame? Oh, I'm telling you. Whatever you're doing, people have been doing for years. Yes! And it will not change. That's the world for you. It will not change. So you can't just wake up and do whatever you feel like doing just because you feel that God will answer you. I hear people say, man of God, the Bible says, and the Lord shall give unto me my heart desires. Who said so? Study your scriptures carefully, friends. Anytime you hear God tell the people of Israel that I will give unto your heart desires, he meant that I would call you as my own and then bring myself into you. So you remember that they didn't have what it means to ask God what they wanted until they came to align with the Father himself. Am I teaching here? Yes. Never in your life try anything in ignorance because you can't pay the consequence. God told me years ago, God told me that when you live a life of obedience, I'll pay the consequence. Yeah. Are you blessed, friends? Yes. So how did you do something on earth and you didn't ask God for clarity? People would go out of God's life, out of God's way. And when everything goes bad, they're not looking for anointed man of God to solve the case for them. Anointed is not magic. Exactly. It's not what? It's not magic. That's why it's important to have a prophet in your life. I didn't say prophets. Did you hear me? An issue happened and then my mom was telling me how the issue was. And after she told me the issue, I kept quiet for 2 minutes. And I figured out that, you see, God has a way of hiding things from you. Because he knows that you are too ignorant. That even if he gives you the chance to walk in wisdom, you still abort it. Am I communicating? I'm praying God will not hide anything from you. Prayer. So he gives you the necessary information your destiny needs. Just imagine God vets your credibility and he knows how weak you are. He says, with your kind of person, I don't think I can trust you. And he'll not give you just fingertips information that will just give you leverage in time. But the real matter he hides from you. To pay it. Permissive will is when you choose to go a way that God says don't follow. So you go before the Lord asking God for something. And God says, the decision is in your court. But I have decided to do this for you. And I'm like, God, let me still follow what I feel like doing. Am I communicating? So you realize the story of the prodigal son was a perfect example of God's permissive will. He was not meant to ask for his portion of inheritance. Because number one, you don't ask for inheritance if a man is still alive. You only seek for that in a man's death. So he wanting to receive the man's inheritance when the man was alive was a proof that God says, stay, let me give what you want. He said, no, let me just follow my own way. Don't you know people battle with God? I was in Sierra Leone, I was watching Pastor Chris on YouTube. And then he was saying that one thing he will never do in his life is to advise married couples. I was like, hello, man. He says because people will come to him and he will tell them, God says you can't be together. And after 10 minutes, they'll be like, Pastor, so our date is on the 15th of April. Oh, you watched it, right? 15th of April. Time is 9 p.m. We'll do at Lagos 2 Avenue, sir. Hi. Praise God. I know a man of God that said, God told him the wife is a witch. I mean, what's a witch? He said, God, I will change her to become a Christian. I read a funny post. Somebody, this is one prophet is there trying to change a slave queen to become a prophetess. He says, my brother, stop. It will not work. God is good. You see, so clearly, you see that certain people, God gives them the chance of seeing their future. And they still choose that I will follow what my heart is telling me. You are not the controller of time. Oh, is that clear? You don't control time. One thing that God has given us in this ministry is the witness of the Spirit. In what sense? You see, anyone that obeyed my voice, there was something he saw. Unless you're not wise to remember. Am I communicating here? Once we tell people this is the way you ought to follow, he helps them himself. I'm telling you. Are you blessed, please? Now watch me. I'm going to show you three things to do that will make you know that what you're doing is God's way. And let me pray here. Are you blessed, friends? Yes. And then on Friday, I will teach you how to hear God. So you know that this is the perfect we're going to follow. Is that clear, friends? Yes. I wouldn't want the idea where I'll have to teach for a very long time and I'm not going to pray with you. No. I should make sure that I cut some things short and then have prayer intercepted as well. So we can stand upon the way to pray. Have a church here, please. Now, before I show you the three things that have to be visible in the promise written in this God's will, let me show you the dangers in not doing what God has asked you to follow. You see, I want you to know that in God's kingdom, whatever miracle God gives you is an assignment. Did you hear that? Your testimony is your assignment. Yeah. If God gives you a child, he didn't tell the world that you are fruitful. He has given you a responsibility to raise the child in not in your image, but in the image of God. So that whatever God wants to do with that child coming out with that child. Why did God delay Hannah for years? Because Hannah didn't have that knowledge that God wanted someone to know about God. You see? I want you to know that when you give birth to any child, you raise the child in honor of your knowledge. So once you have a default mentality, you have destroyed the person's life. A poor father does not raise a poor child until they change their mind of their children to think like poor people. Is that clear? So, what are the dangers in going against God's way? Number one, when God speaks to you and you decide not to obey his voice, he will give to somebody else what you have. Is that simple? I am telling you as God's prophet, 90% of believers are not living the life God gave them. The life they are living is only an extension of mercy. But as to in fulfilling God's original plan, they're nowhere close to that. A lot of believers, a lot of Christians are not living God's will. So the life they live is not what God implemented at birth when he made them. Never. You see, the life of the kingdom is precious. And if that life is not guarded in knowledge and in intimacy, the enemy can take advantage of that life. Did you hear that? Study your scriptures. Are you aware after God told prophet Samuel to tell King Saul that he had rejected him as king, he He ruled for 40 years. Am I talking? King Saul reigned for 40 years. If Prophet Samuel had lived in our days, you would call him a false prophet. Because your idea for God's rejection is that once God says you are out, it means instantly you should go out. You see, God never announces his departure. He only announces his arrival. So if I say that, you are out, you are thinking that instantly you should diminish or disappear. And God says, no. For 40 years, he's still reigned. And don't forget that in the course of 40 years, he was still winning battles. So you'll be like, how did the prophet tell me that God has rejected me? I'm still winning battles. There was a lady who was in this church. One time I was having service and God told me that she wanted to give the children witchcraft. Remember, most of you are not here that time. Most of you are not here. One of the reasons why in our ministry we prevent things like this because we don't want to have any issue with anybody here. I'll tell you why. If you are very spiritual, you will know the enemy can use any angle to destroy God's plan. And it was through food that Christ got betrayed and killed. So food can be used as a system of love. Talk to me, please. Am I communicating? Years ago, my father would permit members to come to church with their food. Love feasts. What they use in killing Jesus. I was behind the piano. At that time, I used to play drums a lot in the church. And God told me, this lady wants to kill the children's, their destiny, with toffees. I told my mom. Well, sorry, cake, right? Cake. I said, Mama, I'm seeing this clear here. And God is telling me that God showed her mercy because of where she fellowships. But because she wants to destroy this same place, God said the baby will be taken away. And my mom was laughing in her head. I didn't know at that time, she had told my dad that she was pregnant. And that he was happy. Because for years they prayed for babies. When I get that prophecy, the pregnancy was 6 months old. So within 3 months, she'll be put into birth. The baby died there. He died. Until date, there's no baby. And even the man that's supposed to help her get baby, the man's been left there now. You see, you can't destroy what is genuine and expect to have the same thing. No. How is that possible? So back again, friends. So you can't tell me that you would want God to give you the life he created for you if you choose to disobey his voice. It's impossible. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. What does it? It doesn't happen. It will not happen. Life is a journey. I'm telling you, life. Oh. I am of old, sire. No, in my little life, life is what? It's a journey. Everybody can start the race. And in the head of everybody, they may think they're right. It will be the end. We will know if what you believe was the right thing. It will be a pity when God gives you that chance of seeing your future or whatever he intended for you. And finally, you never get to work in that life because he now gives that life to somebody else. Watch me. Hey, what the enemy wants to do is to make sure that you will not fulfill what God created you. Because the enemy knows there's honor when you live that life. So whatever the enemy will do to stop you from harvesting that life, you'll make it happen. This is the gospel here. How did the devil gather this audacity? Tell Christ that this kingdom, they all belong to me. Remember, the devil exists because God created him. Does that make sense? So just imagine I'm telling my father that worship me and I'll give you money. The devil went to God and said, Bros, when I used to be in heaven, I was your boy boy. Now you've come to my terrain. I know you want to die and save the world. I'm the way. So just bow down before me. Am I communicating? The question is, what is it that you have in your hand that you are thanking God for? Yet, in spirit, it is totally different from God's original plan for you. Oh, am I teaching here? Number two, when a man decides not to walk in God's will, so number one, like I said, God will give to somebody else what is meant to be yours. Number two, God can never enter covenant with you. You will live life without covenant. The greatest thing anybody can do on earth is to have a covenant with God. Now watch me. There is a covenant God has with you through his son, which is Christ Jesus. Now, that covenant only gives you the permission of coming before him as a child. But that covenant that must inculcate you as a son in God's kingdom is something you may never get to experience. All because you chose the path that benefits your flesh. I want you to know that in God's kingdom, when God wants to prove his trust for a man, he enters covenant with a man. Never in time has God given anybody anything on that platform alone without covenant. If you would have to create something, he has to enter into covenant. Covenant. This is the bedrock of greatness, covenant. Are you aware the Bible says that Hezekiah's prayer was answered because of the covenant God has with David? God so much loved Abraham until he said, I don't care the stature of the person that blesses you. Once the person blesses you, automatically, I'll bless them. And he says, I don't care what you did to the person. Once anybody curses you, I, the Lord, I will curse them. I hope you're aware that covenant doesn't come in how. That covenant came on the platform of obedience to God's instruction. How? You wait upon the Lord for 25 good years. And then God says, go and sacrifice your child. So, if the enemy doesn't succeed in making you disobey God's voice, they make sure that you do everything possible that you don't follow God's will. And when you don't follow God's will, one thing will happen. Number one, you lose onto somebody what is yours. Number two, you actually lose covenant. Watch me. This may sound a bit harsh, but it's the truth. It is not everyone that carries value in God's presence. You didn't hear me. God, eh? Yeah. He knows everyone's heart. And he knows what everybody can do. He will never want to judge you for what people think of you. Because people's thoughts about your life means nothing. You didn't hear me. You see, the whole idea of integrity is making sure you are without stain and blemish. Talk to me, please. So somebody who doesn't believe in your faith will not stand to make record of you. You didn't hear me. If integrity alone was the reason why people entered into heaven, we'll have lots of witches in heaven. Because most of the profound men you love are demons. Oh, am I communicating, please? Oh, you didn't hear me. Please, these teachings are very deep. They are being recorded. And I'm receiving a lot of comments from people every day. I'm telling you. I repeat. Not everybody carries value in God's presence. There are certain people, God knows who they are. He knows they'll not go anywhere in life. Do you know why? Because no matter how God shows them the truth, the way, they will just not believe it. Tell me. Huh? Some people can have exuberance before the Lord, eh? But he knows that in the day of adversity, you would put God down and lift up your feelings and emotions. He knows. God has never entered covenant with any man just because of their outward look. prophet almost got deceived when he entered the house of Jesse. He says, when I look at the height and the stature of these guys, they look promising. It looks like God can entrust them with your children. God says, no, I don't look at what you people look at. I look into the heart. I am still asking myself, how were you expecting Mary to defend herself when people got to realize that she got pregnant without she not getting married? And you tell me that even after giving birth to a child, you are still a virgin. And I should believe that. How am I communicating, friends? Please, I repeat. If God must prove that he has trust for you, he has to vow and say, this is what I will always do for you. Not everybody has it. No. Hey, you know the depth and the height a man can command based on the covenant he has. Yes. He singles men out by covenant. I hope you are aware it was not only Judas that betrayed Jesus. Peter also betrayed Jesus. Peter was asked, you, I see you following this man. I say, me? Never! God, let's go. I've never seen him before. Never. Can you imagine God was telling him that you are going to... Hey, bros, Peter. Says, you deny me 3 times. Who? He says, me? God, never. What came over again? No, it's straight. The God that is all knowing is telling you. God, let's go. Can you imagine? God says, you feel me? Say, God, me? I can't feel you. And God says, I made yesterday, I made today, I made tomorrow. Say, no, God. As for this, I didn't see it right. Me, I can't do that. After they arrested Jesus, he said, even the God who can do all things, he allowed them to handcuff him. I should be the one to die. And say, no, I can't do that. God is good. But what rescued the life of Peter? It was covenant. How? When he asked them, what do men say that I am? Everybody was quiet. It took discernment to perceive that this was the Son of the living God. And God says, that which you have seen has given you leverage in the spirit, that anything I wanted to do when it concerns the church, it will be upon you. It's a covenant. Yeah. Am I communicating? All right. So, 3 things. Are you blessed, friends? What are the 3 things that must be visible in what you do for you to know this is God's will? There are 3 things you must see. It must be visible. So you know this is God's will. And then we pray. I'll just give one to them and then we continue on Friday. I bless you, dear friends. Yes. What are the 3 things that I should see in the instruction I want to follow that will make me know this is the way that God wants me to? 1 thing that will make you know that what you are doing is right from the Lord is that you will always give your promising future. Never in time has God ever told anyone to follow anything without God not telling them the future ahead of them. Never. That promise is always about what he will do for you in the future. Remember, when God tells people to follow whatever instruction they ought to follow, even not tells them about the process, he always speaks about the future. God showed Joseph the palace. He never showed him the prison. Am I right? God showed Jesus the crown. He never showed him Golgotha. Am I communicating? He will always show you what will make you happy. But as to what you ought to do that will bring it, he won't tell you. A wise man said, the reason why God will not tell you everything is because if God should tell you everything, you'll not be able to prioritize the moment. So when all that you see is fame everywhere, be ready for insult. You think it's easy? Recently, when Mimi's video went viral, people were insulting her for nothing. I'm a piano. I'm a prayer. One day she came downstairs. I was with Daddy. Say, Daddy, somebody's insulting me for her. I say, that's okay. That's normal. Are you aware the Bible says there was a man that sat at the end of the river when Christ crossed the sea? The town was called Gadara. It was a demon-possessed man. When he saw Jesus, he says, have you come here to kill us before our time? The demon began to speak about the life of Christ until Christ says, keep quiet. And the demon now said, cast us into the pigs and we'll be free. And then Jesus now casted the spirit into the pig, and the pig fell into the water. If that makes sense. Now, are you aware that same time too, the Pharisee saw Jesus and said, the miracle you just performed is demonic. A demon saw God and acknowledged him as God. Now, can you imagine Christians or believers now saw God and say, you're a demon? In this life, you must be ready to be understood. People won't understand you. Because following God's promise will make you look foolish. How is God telling you that I will give you a promising end when what you are doing doesn't make sense? Praise God. Once anybody tells you that this is what God has said, ask them, what is the future connect? If there's no future orientation, forget about it. It's not God has spoken. The enemy can't tell you tomorrow because the enemy lives in time. He can't. Praise God. I've been to Mama this story. I was in UK. I was getting ready for our invasion last year. I was there. I went to see the man after I had access to the hall. Everything broke up, protocols, went, spoke, everything. Sat with the pastors. I was asked to do a teaching, everything powerful like that. So I figured out that some people have been waiting to see the man for all this while. Waiting to see the man. And the man was busy. You know how protocols are now. Our bishop is busy. We get back to places. Access patients. Busy. And I was there. Let's talk about that man. He's having a meeting. Talking about life. Everything. Advising me. Talking. When I came out, I saw a pastor that was in this church. That was waiting to see the man. And the guy was shocked. If that makes sense. Because he wasn't expecting that. The word busy. Please, be careful how you treat people. Life is not big. It's very small. It's like a ball. It goes around like that. Even if you do good and the good doesn't come to you, you maybe have children. You'll follow them. I came out and then the guy looked at me like that. And the pastor asked me, like, do you know this man? I could say whatever I wanted to say. I just kept quiet. I pray for stability for you. Be upstanding, friends. I'll continue on Friday. Are you blessed, friends? Lift your hands above your head.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54 or email us at office@benjaminfodjer.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjer. Twitter is SeniorBenjaminFodjer. And on website is www.benjaminfodjer.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. The vision, the mission, the passion.